Poltz, POLTZ.com/words. I'm Ken Jones for KBOOS News in Depth.
David Bowie. Come on, guys, you know the Russian nukes are getting glowy. The heats are coming down when it should be nice and snowy. What do you say, God, Donald Trump or Ziggy Stardust? Hey, God, I'll trade you Donald Trump for Harper Lee. I'll even throw in a mockingbird. Trump for Prince. When I see Geo Jesus, man, it makes me want to wince. The planet hasn't been the same at all ever since. What do you say, God, orange face for purple rain? Hey, God, I'd trade you Donald Trump for Leonard Cohen. Come on, God, you can do anything. After all, you are all knowing. Opens up his mouth, the hellish winds start blowing. What do you say, God, Donald Trump, or we get free?
The time Let me is sleep. 6:02, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, and coming up next is Cutie Pock Talk.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Spontaneous Combustion New Music Festival, happening January 19th through February 10th at the Old Church in Portland. The Spontaneous Combustion New Music Festival features seven new music performers, performing works by living composers, both well-known and lesser-known, as well as some works by recently deceased 20th century composers. Music by Lou Harrison, Jacob Druckmann, Julia Wolf, David Lang, and many, many more. Again, that's the Spontaneous Combustion New Music Festival happening January 19th through February 10th at the Old Church, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Swing the remix, God! Are these mics hot?
Can you hear me?
Hi, and welcome to Cutie Pock Talk, where we invite you to sit down and listen to what's shaping our queer and trans community here in Portland. I'm Darian Jones, here with my amazing co-host, Zealous Marchant. Zealous Marchant, is that you?
That's me.
A lot of sounds you're making.
It was me? Yeah. It's really me, actually.
Even though I can see you,
I know
I'm
my hair is doing
sure.
something a little floofy today, but it's new. Is in fact
is that the
me.
Natural hair?
It's totally natural.
Oh, that's great.
I actually got catcalled by a bunch of lesbians today, and it was really great.
You got catcalled?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a work in progress. I don't actually can't say if it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
It's
like a, I'm like, what is that like by a group of like lesbians?
Seriously, like in an 80s video style thing. Yeah, rare. Totally. I don't know where their office or office. I think they're, I don't know. They come out of like a building all together,
yeah.
like hood rat style and smoking. It's really alluring.
Wow. For me.
That's
and
I'm always
intense.
Just like, please,
that's
God,
a group.
Call me. But
are they easy to find? You see them just walking out of buildings?
It's like really, like, I think a part of it is, yeah, seriously. Yeah. And actually, they have a director's chair out there now. They'll just brag, they'll bring chairs.
Wow.
And like a Folgers coffee can that they put their cigarettes
Dang.
In. And it just warms like the cockles of my hood rat heart. Like, that really does it for me. And I'm always just like, this is wrong to think this. I'm like, no, it's not. This is like, these are the
new,
crowd I grew
the
up
new,
with. Yeah.
Cat callers.
It's not the new. It's not really not new. It's like just like, you know, TLC, Salt and Pepper style.
Left Eye's gone.
But more open. Yeah, but the spirit lives on. But today they were like, hey, your hair, hey. And bunch of other things I'm not going to repeat on the radio because of FCC licensing, and I was just like trying to repark my car, but I didn't mind. And they were like, we're out here every 2 hours in case you want to come back. Hey,
oh, wow.
I was just like, I think it was a work in progress, I say, because like a year ago with me walking by and walking through them, at first I was like, oh, I'm so intimidated. Am I going to have to fight?
Oh, this is a constant group in your life.
It's a constant group.
Okay,
it is
okay.
actually
I didn't
a constant
have the background
group.
On that.
And I'm always like, do I say hello? Do they say? And then we're doing like the whole like, locking eyes and like I'm tougher than you are. What I'm tough in, but like in a really
who's the most
way.
Tough
there I don't know. I think what happened was then one girl was like, I like your hair. That was like 6 months ago. By now they see me every day and now they're like, oh, you're open season, it's totally fine now, like you seem like one of the team.
Yeah,
here
they're like, hey, what's going on?
And I was just yeah like that. It was just like, oh. And full on invitation to just come back apparently every 2 hours when they have a break. And they were like, if you want compliments, we can. You're out here every 2 hours. We'll pay them to you all day long. And I was like, yes.
I wish I had people to just stand and give me compliments.
I really needed
all day.
It today. I was like, okay, all right. I took, all right.
All right. Just living another day in the life of a cutie pock person in Portland.
Yeah, totally. I was like, this is wonderful. Like, I'm fine with this. And
I don't think I've never gotten that level of attention before.
And you sure?
Yeah, well, not I don't have like a group of, you know, cat callers
cultural.
Waiting for me weekly.
Okay, I don't think they're waiting for me. That sounds menacing a little bit. I think they're just having a smoke break.
Yeah.
And I just happen to like work a block from that. Yeah. And so I'm parking my car nearby and walking in. And so they're seeing me several times a day. And
checking out the hair.
Checking out the hair, as it were.
She got her hair did this
all
week.
All right, got my hair did. Yeah, but it was really cool. It was the first time they were like, all right. I was just like, cue the cheesy music, you know? It was
oh,
just
look
like,
at that. You could make a little whole little zine about this, I feel like.
Sure. And I'm post. Also just like, how... do I make reasons to just go check my car every 2 hours besides parking? How do I time that to when they're out there? So the next step is I'm just going to go out there and be like smoking with them and being like, hey, and...
We're always building communities, Ella, so you are always finding community to build. It's great. Well, I think about
sexy, sexy community in this case. I also think it's just really cool because repressive Portland and pressure cooker Portland and like, I don't know, the state of everything. I think it's like I pine for those days where like lesbians are just like, hey, and here I use it. I call myself a lesbian, but I don't think it's completely honest because I'm an NB and I don't know. Like, I definitely am not necessarily attracted to cisgender, you know, but I guess the word is pansexual or whatever, but it seems I'm definitely, when I'm dating, it's always femme orientated. So, and I think there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of progress going on in the wake of such fear of like making sure everyone's consensual and respectable. There's a special time capsule for the lesbian shout out, or like, you know, everybody's on their stoops or something. Or like I miss that culture. That's my culture, a loud culture, vocal culture. And I think it's different for you. Like, I just don't think gays have the history of like, I don't know though. Maybe in Florida did they do that? Like gays hanging out on a stoop and they're just like, hey, I mean, or hey. Or...
I've had the fortunate misfortune of only really being primed in the Portland gay culture, which
is totally different.
Different.
It's super different here. And so that's why it was super special too, because I guarantee the next time I walk through there and they catcall me and we get extra flirty, and I'm like, all right, I'll hang in the middle of all this amazingness.
Have a cig or two.
Yeah. If I ask them where they're from, I guarantee most of them are probably not either from here or they're from really challenged communities, you know, but I think that it's just so refreshing. Like the culture here in general in Portland is like a, what do they call that, a low pressure systems, where it sounds nice but it's really just, it means that the clouds are like super low, like you're gonna have a thunderstorm because like the cold front is being pushed way down. Sorry, I'm a weather nerd, but I just mean
it sounds terrifying.
It is terrifying, I think, here. Dating and like relationships and sexuality and gender, all these things are, I think, a lot more complicated in Portland. Or oversimplified to the fact that they become overcomplicated.
Do you think it's the culture of the Northwest nice that kind of
I think it's the fact that the North has forgotten that it's just like the South completely. There's no difference. There's no difference. Right. Well, even like MLK was like, there's just as many problems in the North. They're the same problems as in their South. But here, there's a lot of self-congratulatory nature that masks as progressiveness, when what really is happening is the same repression and the same, you know, using otherness to control empathy, to control justice, to control love, to control the expression of that. And so it's here. So having straight up like homegirls be like, you know, no labels, you hot. And we've decided our whole tribe is going to swarm you is fantastic. I think it's fantastic. Now, if a bunch of cis dudes did that, I'd be breaking some teeth.
I'd be like, get me out of here, please.
Right. So I think of part of it too is like when I've traveled, you know, I'm not a cis gay male, but having traveled with them, like they are, there's like, it's different. I can't say they were all hanging out in a corner like that on the stoop, but there's like the cruising thing was a lot more overt. There was a lot more vocalism. And here it's really quiet or like totally different. It's all done through like apps or something. No one's like hanging out and being like,
dating culture scene here in Portland.
The what?
The gay male dating culture here in Portland.
Right, and I say this to somebody who's not cis male or gay, but like navigating the cutie pox spaces here in Portland, it's toned down. It's like a lot more conservative. Then you have like the white gay male. You know, ideologies that are just taking up space. So
I wonder if it's toned down or if the people don't show up to these events. That makes...
Oh, you mean like Cake last weekend where it was supposed to be just for cutie pox, but a bunch of...
Non-cutie pox?
Like white people were just out there figuring?
White people? Yeah. I mean, I definitely.
I actually just... My partner, who is most know, straight up white. We both were just grossed out and left. It was just like, we showed up early. Well, early in terms of like,
was it Dynasty?
Yeah, over at Dynasty. Mm-hmm. And I walked in there, like, this is the first time I've been, like, well enough to dance. I've gone back to training and stuff, and I was going in there. And Cake and Slay is supposed to be for Cutie Pox.
Yeah.
I walk in there, and it's just, like, five of us in this room and of people, like, dancing. And I was just like, wasn't this supposed to be for... Mm-hmm. Cutie Pox, but it's mainly white gay guys who are making out on the floor here. And I was just like, can we have nothing? Can we just have...
I want to say, as someone who is the Facebook admin for culturally specific LGBTQ organizations, I've received dozens, just probably, you know, I've lost count of the inquiries around events that are explicit around who they're trying to put in the forefront of celebrating, where it's you know, particularly like some white folks will say, hey, I noticed that this says Cutie Pox event, but it doesn't say Cutie Pox only. Can I join? Can I come to this event? I don't have a partner that's Cutie Pox. I'm just interested in learning. And so
Rewind.
Or I just want to have a good time at the event.
Oh, you know what that's code for?
I know what you're looking for.
It was gross. We had like white chicks. Like I. That was another thing. I had people just bumping up against me. Like the only I was surprised somebody didn't ask to touch my hair. Like I was so, like this is so. And the North is nutso if they think that they aren't as awful. They might not be going on about it in an overt way, but those issues are still there. They were, you know, bumping up against me and other, you know, Cutie Pox, and then just giving that really thirsty look, and then just looking really self-satisfied that they were enjoying this otherness. And I was just so grossed out. Like, I would have preferred, I mean, like, we know that that's there, but like, I don't know.
Countless nights here in Portland. You've described countless nights for me.
Yeah, I was just, yeah, we left. We were just like... Yeah.
And just to do like a moderate little plug, I don't know if you know about the Don't Touch My Hair game.
Don't touch my
that was made hair. By a local black woman in Portland.
Oh, what? No, I know all about that. I've been sharing that. Yeah. I was so grateful for that game.
And it kind of, it's so interesting because it's so simple, the game, but it's literally... kind of the narrative of the daily interactions that black women have with like, oh, can I just touch it? Can I touch you?
Can I touch feel you? Or sometimes you not even asking. Creature. They're just like, you want the assumption that we're here for, and when I say we, because I, you know, femme, women, black people, people of color are here for entertainment or consumption is, and that just spelled out to me. I was sad for me to go to that and my partner to go to that event. And I realized that we would not be able to enjoy that event unless we came with a big posse, which was how it's kind of been when we go to Holocene and Slay. Yeah. Though there's been more POCs there. And I think a part of that is they're true to the music and it's in a different, you know, neighborhood. But but going into Dynasty, I was like, forget this. Like, like, no, I'm not, like, we stayed for 3 hours, you know.
Well, that's some pretty big commitment for what you sound like you experienced.
I tried.
Yeah. And, it's a lot more than I would have.
Yeah. I was really, really trying.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also the first time it sounds like you've gone out since.
In a while, you know, yeah. I was, you know, and I saw folks, you know, from our activism and, you know, creative communities who are of color there. But I was just really sad and... just sad. It was just backwards.
Understandably.
Just reminded. Just took me back like 50 years or something. I was just like, what is going on? Like, I just feel like every time, and it's like the second or third time it's happened where an event like that's created for us, by us, and for allies who actually love and support us and want to allow us to be us, say what we need to say, take the effort, go the extra mile to really listen and not interrupt and not tell us we're wrong. Allow us to celebrate, because 24/7 are we told that we're the ones that are having empirical experiences and it's not real. But every time there's an event that's made, like the white people swarm it because they know we're awesome. So they go there and then don't respect the space that they're in, and then we all stop going, and then it just becomes one more homogenous colonized space. And anyway, no.
So if you can't decipher the note, find your own space.
Right, find your own space. And it's just tragic for me. It was just, I was just not, and the DJ wasn't that great.
Well, I wonder who the DJ's there for.
I don't know. I hope they aren't listening. I don't know. Some of the music was hip hop and some of it wasn't. And I was really confused by that. Like, I was coming to jam, you know. Yeah. I was coming to Cabbage Patch. I was coming to, you know, do all that, break, you know, and there wasn't a lot of that. It was like, it was, you know what it was also, that it was insult injury that my white partner even picked up. It was like a homogenized white person's version of what hip hop was. It was like Muzak, Latin type, in Fuego. I don't even, it was just exactly.
Despacito? The look,
something like that. It was like, this isn't hip hop. This is supposed to be pure straight hip hop, and it became apparent to me, like, this isn't even about what it was supposed to be about, and it's grossing me out that I'm watching people I care about, like, you know, dancing on stage and getting tips for these drooling people that just don't realize how they've just,
it's such a complex issue, because even I have seen at some of the nonprofits I volunteer for, there will be organizations that have specific like POC events to like support these queer and black and brown led organizations that are swarmed by folks who maybe aren't from those communities that are meant to be celebrated. And it gets to the point where folks who are really meant to be there don't show up because they don't feel like it's a safe space. And I remember earlier this summer there was an event that was held at this bar on Sandy. I'm not going to tell people what it is. And one of the nonprofits, I mean, it was a great event. Like, all the nonprofits who were there got like $900 each, and there was like three of them. That's so it's great. Pretty huge, right? And it was phenomenal. They're super nice to us. But this event was for POC. And by like the first hour, it was swarmed where like there was no room for new people to arrive, and a good 90% of them were not POC. And so it's interesting to see how folks want to engage and like support communities, but it does become this oppressive thing where they take over. And so I'm wondering what, you know, we can do to ask these folks to do better.
I don't even think we need to. I'm so past that point. Like, no.
That's real.
No, like, I mean, a friend of mine who is also a poet showed me a stone with a poem on it from like 3,000 years ago.
Oh.
And I don't remember who did this poem. And it was just like some random human, nobody that's going to wind up in the Western canals of all that. But it was pretty much saying to the tune that, you know, I think it, and I'm not like, I can't remember verbatim what it was, but it was to the tune of like, my country is destroying who I am. Mankind is making me feel less of a human, and time is marching on. And I just thought, like, this is just like perpetual, you know, and having experiences from both sides of the continental US and being here, I don't really think there's anything we should be saying, you know. I'm not saying we shouldn't work to break silences, but I feel like the best way to get that through somebody's head is to just say no. I've always said that, like, at a certain point, like, you can, I believe in being a patient, generous, but when it comes to the point where you are being hurt and your community is being hurt, it's not our responsibility to get that through somebody's head.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I'm not saying that there's an easy answer. I think we're in a ground where there is no easy answer, or no one necessarily wins. And I think that's real. Like, this, you know, so there's my two cents on that. I don't think there's anything we need to be doing. And, you know, in the spirit of everybody who's gone before, like MLK and all that, you know, where his narrative is whitewashed so much in terms of nonviolence, which was just a small part of his life, he was really well aware of the socioeconomic and the traumatic experiences of interacting in society in situations just like this. So boundaries is where it's at, you know.
Yeah.
And in terms of how to fix sleigh and cake, I don't organize that. I have no idea. I know that, like, what's going on too is, you know, it just reminds me of segregation. Like, real, what's happening is people of color don't feel comfortable and going to these spaces. And what's happening is we're just going, I don't need that. And my truly supportive people who, both white and non-white, don't need that either. And so we are fine just finding each other and then doing events. So I see that happening a lot, where it's like it's pushing, you know, if people want to pretend like we don't have segregation, that's baloney here in this town. Like, it's people will just, if they don't feel safe, they're going to keep to their own.
Yeah.
And that's a harsh reality. And it's not, you know, for lack of trying. It's not for lack of trying. There's a certain point where we're just like, this is causing me mental health issues.
Yeah.
It's affecting my emotional stability, the stability of my community. We're in a world where we don't get that platform first and foremost anyway. So, I think that's where it's at. And in terms of facilitation, like, maybe for things like Cake and Slay, they need to, like, I think Slay also works out better, although I haven't been for a long time, you know, where they really underline the whole, like, open-minded allies, and we're working a little bit better to facilitate that.
Yeah.
And the communities that we're going, we're working hard to really interrupt that and be like, you don't get to, no, you can't touch that hair. Or if you're, you know, I heard the bouncers were actually getting better about, like, you don't get to treat somebody of color like that, and we'll ask you to leave. That's also what needs to happen.
Right.
You know, it's not just like, I don't know, if somebody's starting to fight, it's like, if somebody's behavior, even just socially, in terms of, like, how they're interacting with a whole other culture, especially in the context of an event that's meant for people of color, then they need to go. And no one needs to sit there and explain to them, like, because they'll never, you know, they'll be like, this is why. But, like, think about, like, on average, it can take probably up to 7 times before somebody will really understand that, in, you know, after sitting with something, that they are the ones that trespassed and didn't know what they were doing or what they were talking about. I just need to, you know, rectify that and move on. So
I think part of the issue is there's not a shared responsibility around calling these people out and really utilizing, I think, what happens a lot in the South, which is kind of because there's so much more community, is the public shaming and in a sense of, like, letting folks know it's not okay to touch people's hair, right? Like, that's should be a given to everyone. Like, this is not
that
okay.
That's the Portland niceness you were maybe referring to.
Well, yeah. Well, it's the Portland nice where it's like, oh, it's not my business. I'm not going to worry about it.
Meanwhile,
I see these black people hurting, but I'm just, it's not my business. I don't want to jump in their Kool-Aid. And so there becomes this thing where you become complicit in these actions at a point. And I don't feel like the majority of folks out here see that within themselves because of this super egalitarian view that, like, we're all the same. And, like, you know, I wouldn't want if someone had chimed in my business. And so it creates a cycle that repeats itself where, you know, I don't go to some of these events anymore because of things that kept occurring. And I'm curious what it would look like to see other people hold their own communities accountable and not the ones that are just being tortured by them.
I also think that, yeah, that's so true. I'm going to go Toni Morrison here because I've been reading her again lately.
Let's do it.
I've been reading her book, what is it? An anchor here in the newsroom gave me this book. It was, I think it's Playing with the Dark or Playing with Shadow. It's the Blackness and the Literary Imagination. And she breaks down how the literary world in America is reliant, just like America's reliant on black people, even when we're not being mentioned, it's implied in nuance, you know, even in our absence, we're there because you can't have one without the other. And she starts off the book brilliantly by saying that she's going to be referring to black people in art as Africanists or Africanism, because how we are placed in art, how we are portrayed through the white lens isn't really African, and it's not even really African American, and it's not really Black. It's an imagined ideal of who we are that is written and curated by white people. So she sets that tone. She goes, in no way am I insinuating that Black people, African Americans, you know, do not have solid ideologies or any of that. But what we're talking about here is an Africanist experience that's being invented and then put into our culture and put into our art. And I think that's a part of it. At some point in the book, she talks about those who, those of us of color who have bought into the Africanist ideal, to where they find themselves conflicted between that complicitness with white culture in terms of what they should be doing and who they are and their real identity. And I see that happening a lot mm-hmm. in terms of like how we can be additives in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like what we've been talking about, performing or like or going to a show and enjoying that. But even just like, well, we can take like R&B and hip hop and like Afropunk for that, where people are like, here we are, it's a cool thing. Or like the Golden Globes, like there, you know, where it used to be there was just like Black, if you put something Black in it, that's amazing, you know. But then that's the difference between actually having somebody who wants to facilitate your actual story or your actual history and respecting that, or just lifting who they think you are and what who they have already figured you out to be without even asking you or referencing your history and putting it in there. And I see that happening. And I think personally, like, Portland has a huge problem with that. I'm just mm-hmm. going to call it out right now in terms of like, not of just POCs here. And I think it's maddening. Like, the longer I've lived here, I remind myself, like, it's the North has its particular flavor here. And it's good to be away, you know, because then I remember it's not like that. Like, Black culture coast to coast is different, but here it's really have you know, there's a lot of, I think the progressiveness feeds into that Africanism. Like, this is what your marginalized cultures are, this is what they like. Need this is what they like, this is what it means to be Black. And it's really tricky, and on the daily, you know, to just remind yourself that you decide as a POC, as a Black person, who you are. The progressives and the culture at large and where you are living doesn't get to decide that. You are already who you are. And that's like the main message that people like MLK and all our forebears gave us, and that Tony is pointing to. Like, you are who you are. You're not in anybody else's idea of what that is. That's what makes being us so challenging. And in Portland, I feel when it's so trendy to capitalize on our pain, to capitalize, like, we never get asked what's making us happy per se. Mm-hmm. You know, when you apply for a grant, they want you to know they want you to just tell about, they're assuming you've been through something traumatic. Well, sure, but them asking is traumatic. The fact that they're presuming that you need help in the first place, yeah. You know, I think that's a big part of this problem here. I'm really struck by that. When I'm talking to my family elsewhere, there's not that handholding mm-hmm. with white culture that here I see POCs doing a lot, that makes me even skeptical of a lot of just activism, where I'm just like, you're doing it somebody else's way. I don't think you're really doing it true to who you are. But, you know, I think it's easy to just get caught up and forget your identity. I think there's really an Africanist presence that our country wants us to buy into, you know. And I think that leads to the next step, which is, you know, we're all just human, you know, like,
right.
This is your, you know, this is you, but we're all human, you know, like we're side notes in something. And that's what I see going on at Slay, going on at Cake, going on in discussions about art and culture, all sorts of things. And it's like, no, we're not an additive. Like, literally, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Black people, period. Yeah. Absolutely, period. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the genocide of hundreds and thousands of indigenous people on the North American continent. You would not be here, you know. And in fact, Toni Morrison writes about how when America was colonized, there was a literal call out for American authors at that turn of the century to compete with European authors. So they had to struggle with how this whole newness factor, you know, and how do they write about that without talking about us? Well, our very absence points to that. You know? Right. So anyway, obviously I'm gonna get off this soapbox. Well, just go on.
It's interesting though, with kind of how just hearing you talk about how powerful language is in writing history, you get to create it. And it's kind of like with the Census Bureau, when you think about how people weren't Arab before 9/11, they were white. And then there became this separate thing, this othering, and how when you really think about people who are black born in America, they're not African American. They are black Americans, but we still have this box that you check where you're African American, which does this minute thing that reminds you that your ancestors were a slave and less than and othered, which kind of goes back into this kind of what we started on with, like, I guess it was really like inclusion. And really, I think the best definition I heard of inclusion is like, you know, inclusion isn't really inviting someone to your dance. It's asking them what songs would they like you to play during the dance. Because I can get people seats to any table. Yeah. But
you just articulated that feeling. I had a hard time trying to describe why I was so upset after that. But I was like, it's the music. The music. And I just, it would have made the difference. If it was actually, I could tell it wasn't for me or us or anything like that. And that is a difference.
But you got an invite though, right?
An invite?
Yeah, you're included.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think on that note, we should just give our listeners a little break here.
Yeah. Music break.
Yeah, we've had it's been 35 minutes. Y'all just been sitting here listening away.
Yeah. Okay. Music time.
Kyle's going to chime us out here. Yeah.
Si el ritmo te lleva a mover la cabeza, ya empezamos como es. Mi música no discrimina a nadie, así que vamos a romper.
Con lo mío todos se mueven, la fiesta la llevo en mis genes. Yo soy la reina de los nenes, mi gente no se detiene, aquí nadie se quiere ir. Si el ritmo está en tu cabeza, ahora suéltate y mueve los pies. Me encanta cuando el bajo suena, empezamos a subir de nivel.
Y toda mi gente se mueve,
la fiesta la llevo en mis genes. Yo soy la reina de los nenes,
mi música los tiene fuerte bailando y se baila así.
La fiesta no para, apenas comienza.
Se conce, se consa, ma chérie, la 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 la.
Francia, Colombia,
Houston, freeze.
J Balvin, Willy William,
Beyoncé, freeze.
Los DJ no mienten, le gusta a mi gente y eso se fue muy bien. No les bajamos, mas nunca paramos, es otro palo y
piano. ¿Y dónde está el gigante?
Me fue a bouger la tête.
Azul, are you with me?
Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Un, dos, tres,
say
level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say my body's staying wetter than the ocean. And they say that Creole in my body's like a potion. I can be a beast or I can give you emotion. But please don't question my devotion.
I've been giving birth on these haters cause I'm fertile. See these double C's on his back. One more double D's in his bed, sir. If you really love me, make an album about me.
Word up.
Soon as I walk in, boys start they talking. Right as that booty sway.
Slay.
Lift up your people. From Texas, Puerto Rico, Milan's to Mexico.
¿Y dónde está el gigante?
Me fue a bouger la tête.
¿Y dónde está el gigante?
Say yeah, yeah.
Esquina, esquina, y ahí nos vamos. El mundo es grande, pero lo tengo en mis manos. Estoy muy duro, sí, ok, ahí vamos. Y con el tiempo nos seguimos elevando. Y seguimos rompiendo aquí. Esta fiesta no tiene fin. Botellas para arriba, sí.
La gente no se detiene, aquí nadie se quiere.
¿Y dónde está el gigante?
me fais bouger la tête.
Azul, are you with me?
Say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Un, dos, tres, oh,
yes,
Lego.
Oh, and we're totally back.
Hello, Cutie Pock Talk listeners. I'm Darian Jones.
I'm Zilla Zilla Smarchant.
And you've joined us for a very special Cutie Pock Talk Reflection Hour on Portland and what it's like.
Hour. Yeah.
And you know, we kind of wanted to do our January episode as like a year-end kind of roundup since we weren't able to join you all in December. But we have so much passion in the room, which is always a thing, which is great.
We're magic.
Which is great. We are magic. And it's good that we can talk and we like talking to each other. At least I like talking to you, Zilla.
I like talking to you.
Hope it's reciprocated.
Are you sure you're a Virgo? I'm just kidding.
I'm a Virgo sun, moon in Scorpio, ascendant in Aquarius, communication in Leo, Venus in Libra, Mars in Gemini.
I don't
know. It's a bag of crazy. That's basically what that means.
I follow African spirituality. I don't even know what the moons and the suns are quite doing.
That's okay.
I'm a Taurus in my sun sign.
I'm just a Western-born kid who got trapped in this weird
American
world.
That's kind of what I was thinking. So you always vocalize the things. Like, we balance each other out. I'll say the other stuff that you won't say, and you'll say the things for me that I won't say. I'm just a Western kid trapped here. Save me!
It's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Yes. On that note...
Huh?
On that note, are we doing the... We had a...
Yeah, we had a really big announcement for folks, and
it's hard for us.
It's really.
I thought it was gonna be easy, but it's hard.
It's not hard. It just gives me anxiety, like most things, like waking up in the morning does. But
yeah, that's also
sometimes. It's interesting how you can just think about things, and until you're in the moment,
and then you're
so much stress. Yeah. And so what was your favorite kind of reflection piece from this entire... I know, like, Zealous, I do this to you all the time. But I'll give you a little prime.
Like, it's me making all these...
I'll give you a little prime right
you,
now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can tell you, I'm going to ask you a question about your favorite thing we talked about in the show this year. And so...
The favorite thing that we talked about. I think that my favorite...
You're already ready. I can't even...
I am. Well, we talked about this like a week or so ago when we hung out and we're like, what is the next show going to be? And reflection. And it's always been the time we had Marquis on.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was specific to... We touched on lots of economical type of things. Mm-hmm. There was the whole, like, restaurant, the appropriation factor. That was really interesting, too, because there is... And I know our demographic here in Portland is mainly white. So it's also, like, very... I know, what? Interesting, even though we're speaking to and with our Cutie Pocks, there's this demographic of white folk who are also weighing in, and a lot of times they like don't get what we're saying. So it's very interesting to have Marquis on there talking about restaurants and appropriation, and that conversation in my life continued with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the main reason why it was my favorite. It was interesting that was such a, like, we touched on such a big thing, and it was in papers. A lot of other things were happening about that. But I love that we talked about tip culture.
Yeah.
Which I still get good feedback about that in terms of, like, people never realized the racist history of that. They didn't realize a whole world of experience and assumption with tipping culture. Like, given that a lot of communities, you know, don't have money to just go out and drop $40 or with the drink situation with me at that restaurant you and I were at where...
Oh,
the drink was awful and I had one
where
sip.
It was a bad drink and you sent it back and they were like, oh, we can't take brown drinks sent back?
Right, yeah.
That's what it was.
Because that does,
like,
happen a lot. Yeah. Like, everyone else, because they can just easily go, I don't want the drink. But for somebody like us, they're just like, oh, you're going to drink it. Oh. I'm like, actually, no. But Marquis also is a fabulous voguer. And we've become... He's part of the...
I haven't seen any of this.
What?
I have not seen Marquis voguing.
Okay, so he's
voguing.
Teaching at Commotion. Dance studio. One, it's a new dance studio.
Last time I tuned in, Marquis was a free agent, and in the dance world, that's like a 007, which...
Marquis was also at Cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
one
on
of
the
five.
Stage.
One of five.
Yeah, right. But that was one of my favorites just because we just went all over the place on a theme, and I've followed Marquee, not like stalked Marquee, but like they're doing voguing because we're both dancers and they're out Commotion, and I'm actually interviewing Commotion for the news, and they're open now, and they've also got,
that's so cool.
Yeah, they've got some pretty awesome POC teachers in there. One, yeah, which is kind of a recluse, who's done work for the Allen Alvey and ABT and stuff like that. And they're,
you know, yeah. This makes me feel like Cutie Pock Talk should have a reporter named Zelis Marchant, who is streamed maybe on Facebook doing interviews with folks. I would love to see Cutie Pock Talk interviews.
Just say what we're going to say. We have 15 minutes.
Yeah, we have 15 minutes.
This just proves we could talk forever. Yeah. We need to make this announcement.
It's phenomenal, right?
You go first.
Yeah, so thank you for asking, Zelis. One of my favorite moments this year, I think, was our October episode with Babatunde Azubeki, yes, when we had prime the episode on decentering whiteness, and
oh my god,
somehow all we did was center whiteness in the episode.
Opportunity was so graceful.
I know they were,
if
like
you're listening, oh, Baba, no, thank you so much for being,
thank you, you're amazing. And I think what did we introduce Babatunde as like a special coolest black queer special trans southern film organizer.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, from Atlanta
at Georgia, yeah, Atlanta.
ETO? Yeah, they're great. And Marquee and Baba are become involved. They will be. They,
yeah,
are involved with the Cutie Pock Talk as a collective now. And those are, I think, our shiny moments.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
That was really anxious. October was like an anxious
time. It was
wild. There was a lot of like changes happening. I think
something at the national level too. There was
definitely, yeah.
Seems like every day.
Yeah. Been working on this report in the newsroom on just like the white supremacist upticks, and I can say even in our newsroom it increased by twice from the previous year.
You know what, that's also the episode we had Cameron on, who was in Charlottesville.
Oh yeah, that's
during
right,
the monuments takedown.
Yeah, we covered some pretty big stuff, and I think, yeah, I remember that episode, and we just were like, so
that was an intense yeah, because yeah. I think he was like at the march, like live.
We're like, it was hard to be I think that just sums it up too, where it's like we're supposed to be present on all this stuff all the time, but we are the subject of these mm-hmm. matters, mm-hmm. and they affect right. us every day anyway, that when some huge national thing happens, you know, we're all handling that differently. It was like Tidor, each of us was right. just like having a hard time processing that, because each of us had our own ways for grieving that, and that was really evident. And yeah. it's really difficult to hold space and be this perfect like, hey, nothing's bothering me, I'm just going to facilitate the thing, when it's like, great. Actually, this is really harrowing to go on, you know.
It's like you're human or something.
It's like we're human.
Well, Beyonce said in a song that 10 times out of 9 she's human, so think about that statistic.
Well, drum roll,
I'm super excited to, I know we've kind of been getting the anxiety or the juices moving in our listeners, like, what are they about to announce? It seems like it can be some next level kind of stuff. And I feel like I've just been building it up so much, like,
you looking
not
for a handhold?
I have to
Darren
you,
was like
I
reaching
to,
for my handle.
I am, but I always put Zelis on the
like
spot,
you,
so
you
I'm,
do.
Gonna, I'm gonna put them on the spot right That's now real, and be like, Zelis
goes.
All right, so it looks like I did not nose goes, and we
are about to lift off
for you all, to let you all know that Cutie Pock Talk will be moving to podcast form. Boom. We will actually be now on recording and posting our video content soon to come with our new reporter, Zelis Marchant, on our Facebook page. We'll still be able, I think for a little while, you'll be able to access the archives on KBOO, and we can work with them to see if they want to upload some of the new stuff. But
yeah.
We will definitely like to invite you all to follow us on Facebook at / Cutie Pock Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Follow. You can add me on Facebook. I can't commit to agreeing to be your friend, but I always like getting the add requests.
Yeah, you can add
way.
Us both. Yeah, it takes time to get to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So yeah, that's our big announcement. This is our last show on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we'll be going to podcasting, and we'll be going on to new adventures. And
you can look for us. Yeah. Starting next month, towards the end of the month, with Babatunde Azubeki
and Marquee, and obviously myself and
Darion.
Darion.
And if you are actually interested in having your content featured in an episode, or you want to be a special guest on Cutie Pog Talk, please send us an email at qtpoctalk@gmail.com. We can easily reply to you and keep a thread. Facebook message, we'll see you there too.
Yeah.
And so I don't.
We didn't. I know.
I know.
Do I hit the microphone to make a mic drop?
I don't know how we do a mic drop.
Poof. Did like, that work?
Did you all feel the mic drop? I want to Obama out, you know?
Obama, right. We were practicing before, like, what kind do we do? Do we just relaxedly, like, drop the mic in a really cool Obama way? Do we throw it? Do we kick it across?
Yeah, and just, you know, full transparency, Zelos got a text from me a few hours ago and thought that I wanted them to just be like, mic drop, we're not even doing the show tonight.
Sounded like. I freaked out.
But we would love for you all to like and follow and continue the Cutie Pog Collective sensation online.
Yes.
And that is our mic drop.
That is our mic drop. It's been wonderful. I have to say, I think our favorite moments, apart from meeting Marquis and Babatunde and talking to Cameron from reporting from Charlottesville, has just been like the call outs, pretty much. We all are pretty dynamic in nature, where it's like, I think if one person would say it, the other person's like, well, I'll say it so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's pretty great. I think that's like the point.
Can our slogan be keeping it 100? Cutie Pog Talk.
Yeah.
I think that's how we are.
I think so. Keeping it. No, I was going to say keeping it Googleplex. We can't do that anymore because Google stole Googleplex. It's not cool anymore. Keeping it 100. Keeping it.
Not Google.
Keeping it MC squared. No, I don't know.
Keeping it Cutie Pog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keeping the melanin high.
Yeah. So, wow, I feel like, I don't know.
I feel like
we're in outer space right now.
I know. It's interesting because now we have this kind of remaining time in the show, which it was interesting because Zelos and I always kind of get to this moment before we record a show where we're kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't get my thought right here, or I want to change this thing up, or I just want to do a whole new show. And we always are just like on it. We keep it going. And it's interesting to kind of be this far along in this particular show and now have 10 minutes left where we're kind of like, gosh, what do we want to let you all know? Like, thank you.
I think it's kind of where I'm at. I literally feel like we're at that moment where you did the count, like you did the briefing, you did the reflection.
You kind of forced me to like do the announcement.
Oh, don't
early.
You? No. You see, you do that. Darian does that, everybody, where they throw me under the bus like that.
No, I just be transparent.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. But yeah, I feel like we're in outer space now. We're like lifting off and now it's like, oh, now we can look.
I'm excited to get our Instagram game going up because I think that's where we're going to have to live from now on, primarily
living
to meet new
Instagram.
People.
Yeah.
Instagram and Facebook, since they're one.
They are one. The Facetagram.
Yeah.
They're going to be on the Facetagram. Totally. I think I do want to thank everybody who's listened, and I know that we're going to meet a lot more listeners and people and be able to get out there in ways that we haven't been able to before, and I'm really stoked. I know that the Cutie Pog community here could use some a platform, a much more reflective platform, and so, you know, we've been talking a lot about that with Baba and Marquis and a lot of other people, and that seems to be the common through line. I'm really stoked. I'm excited for those, you know. I wanted to just thank everybody who I've met throughout this last year in 2017, who was like, even those who just found out late, like, oh, I just didn't realize that you had a show. Like, it was even just like some people came to me because white listeners on KPU had heard that and then forwarded it to a Cutie Pog that they knew, who was just like, oh my god, what, two black people who were queer on the radio? What?
You exist.
So I know there's going to be more of that and more of that, and we're just going to be talking a lot and breaking more silences, and I'm just so grateful for all the support we've gotten thus far. It's I don't know about you, but I feel like it's taken a lot of courage and sometimes sleepless nights when we've been talking about serious issues and like we come on air and talk about this stuff and knowing that, you know, it's going to impact us in a certain way. It's been really great to just, for me to go like, no, this is important, and having the community there to support, you know, that has been magic. So I'm really excited about where we're going. We can.
Me too. Yeah, so. And it's, yeah, I'd say the same for me, because it's, you know, thanks to everyone that tunes in to our show every month, that sends us Facebook messages that are like, oh my gosh, can you please keep it real some more for us? Because I don't know, it's, gosh, it wasn't a don't touch my hair segment, but there was a segment we brought up with Marquee, where someone on Facebook messaged us that, like, thank you for just talking about this, because they don't get the opportunity to do it in their community. And so I think for me, one of the magical things is just seeing how valuable this can be to people, is, and how life-changing it can be. And so, you know, thank you for being you, listener.
Yeah, thank you for being you. Totally.
And I think on that one, we're kind of going to get ready to sign off in a soft tone.
Soft tone. You're rad.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
At least for the radio waves. Find us on podcast form.
Yep. See you.
No FCC regulation.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. No FCC regulation. Swear as much as we want. I'm actually really excited about
it. It's going to be really dynamic. And if you thought we were a little unhinged in this show, get ready for online no censorship news.
You're right. Totally. We might just throw the beeping in for, like, nostalgia's sake.
I kind of want to, like, beep, beep, like, just randomly. You can.
Right, yeah. Totally. All right. We gonna, here we go.
We're ready.
All right.
Thank you. And the time is 6:58, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. And coming up next is Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the new member orientation for the Urban League of Portland Young Professionals on Monday, January 22nd at 5 p.m. at the Kennedy School in Portland. Learn about the history of the Urban League and the Young Professional Committee, the activities of each of the groups, and how you can get involved. Again, that's the new member orientation for the Urban League of Portland Young Professionals, Monday, January 22nd at 5 p.m. in the Community Room at the Kennedy School, 5736 Northeast 33rd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Happy birthday!
Join KBOO Community Radio on Saturday, January 20th at the Oregon Historical Society as we celebrate our 50th anniversary with the exhibit 50 Years of KBOO.
The microphones were hanging from the heating pipes, and so I said, yes, I'm ready to do program. I was aiming for classical music. He said, yeah, but one thing, he said, I don't want any of this so-called popularity stuff. He said, I want music that is not heard on other stations. I said, oh, no, I can do that. There's no problem. So he said, yeah, you're on Sunday afternoon.
That's 50 Years of KBOO, Saturday, January 20th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.